Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation that has some great allies, and we do. And one of the big lessons of this entire horror in Ukraine is that we are blessed with a almost united front in NATO. And nations that really do care about what happens in Ukraine. And by an unexpectedly strong performance by the Ukrainian forces in resisting this Russian invasion. No one saw that coming. Well, almost no one. Michael Weiss, an American journalist and author, wrote in February, before the invasion of Russia was even fully underway, he wrote in Time magazine, "Even if Russia wins, it won't do so easily." How did he know that? We'll be speaking with Michael Weiss, who is contributing editor at the Daily Beast, director of special investigations at the Free Russia Foundation, and he is also the co-author of ISIS Inside the Army of Terror. He just returned from Ukraine and has been eyewitness to some of the disasters encountered by the Russian military. Michael, first off, what had given you the indication, ahead of so many other observers in the press, that this was not going to be any kind of cakewalk for Vladimir Putin and for the Russian forces?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the program. I went to Ukraine in January when there was a, not even a trickle, but a deluge of reporting, most of it sourced to Western intelligence, suggesting that indeed Russia was preparing for a massive invasion, which later took place. But I went to Ukraine with a very explicit purpose, which is to find out why the Ukrainians were not panicking. They were famously and rather shockingly to Western eyes and ears calm. They were laughing off these sort of doomsday predictions about Kyiv falling or being sacked within 72 hours and so on. And, you know, I tried to present a fairly nuanced portrait of why that was. And my takeaway, at least in hindsight, is that the Ukrainians were wrong for the right reason. And by that I mean they didn't see this invasion happening because they didn't think Putin would be so stupid and foolhardy as to try it. A line that stuck with me, which came from a deputy of the Rada, Ukraine's parliament, and before that, rather tellingly, she was the in charge of European integration under the Petro Poroshenko administration, was that Putin will choke on Ukraine. And, you know, look, I was doing, you know, I was trying to get a sense from the military, security, and political establishments why they were so confident that they could fend off an invasion. And the answer was, you know, this is a country that has been at war, an active state of war with Russia for 8 years. Over 400,000 people have seen combat against conventional Russian forces, not just quote-unquote separatists, but, you know, Russian soldiers who'd been brought in with no insignias under the veil of plausible deniability in Donbass. So you're looking at about 1, maybe 2% of the population that has fought this army and knows it well. And, you know, even though the West was slow to arm Ukraine and certainly didn't deliver the kind of kit that they're receiving now, there was a very, very good intelligence sharing mechanism. I mean, indeed, and we saw the reporting that was coming out about the imminence or the likelihood of the invasion. And as we now know, through some very good reporting by NBC News, one of the ways Ukraine managed to hold Kyiv and protect the government was the U.S. was essentially telling them what the Russians were doing and where they were about to strike. And that gave them kind of eyes behind the back of their head and also a forecasting ability or capability that they otherwise wouldn't have had. But I think there was a big problem in the way that the media was covering this. It's not that they got the fact of the war itself wrong, but there was a lot of doom casting. And I think much of it was rooted in this perception of Ukrainian naivete, you know, oh, this adorable little Eastern European nation, you know, it's not worried that the sky is falling when it is, you know, they're going to be slaughtered, it's going to be a swift and easy route. Putin commands the second most powerful army in the world, he's got nuclear weapons, his military reforms have been inaugurated years ago, and Defense Secretary or Minister Shoigu has built this bright, shiny new army for him. And I mean, we've seen how this is all just Potemkin theater. I mean, so many myths have been debunked in the last 2 months and change. It's going to take, I think, his future historians are going to have their work cut out for them trying to figure out how this all happened. But, you know, I think at bare minimum, all I did was try to convey what the Ukrainians themselves were telling me. And look, I didn't predict anything. I mean, I was deeply, deeply conflicted. Dark nights of the soul, a lot of crippling self-doubt that maybe I was being gaslit by the Ukrainians and being had by their propaganda. But it turned out, no. I mean, they had a better sense of how this thing would play out than I think most Americans did.
In terms of how this thing plays out, at this point, let's first talk about what people still tend to believe is the most likely outcome, which is that this ends up being a long, grinding, brutal, horribly bloody war, perhaps even involving the use of tactical nuclear weapons. How does this thing end up in a Russian victory, which Putin seems to indicate, and many of his spokespeople seem to indicate they are absolutely committed to achieving?
His spokespeople certainly want to give the impression that that is so, and I think Putin for sure believes that he can win. This is a man who has lived in a sort of siege mentality in both physical and, I believe, intellectual isolation for a long time. He was sold a bill of goods, or so he believes, by some of his spy masters, one of whom is now sitting in Lefortovo prison under a false identity. He was the director of the Fifth Service of the FSB in charge of the Ukraine file. He's now been purged. Others have been purged in the military up to the rank of general, reportedly. I'm sure there have been more cases of this cannibalization of the regime internally than has come to light. But look, I see very few avenues for a Russian strategic victory here. And that victory has been defined down. It went from regime change to we're simply looking to secure the Donbas and create a land corridor connecting Russian Federation territory to Crimea. They already have a bridge that connects the peninsula to Russia, but now they want a sort of direct line of communication through Ukrainian territory. That's going to be a heavy lift for them. And by that I mean, according to the British government, one-fourth of the battalion tactical groups that Russia committed to this war have been rendered combat ineffective. So I think, if I recall correctly, it was something like 180 BTGs, so a fourth of them are basically have taken off the battlefield. We still don't have full clarity on Russian fatalities, but I believe, and I think there's good reason to believe, that you're looking, it's not just killed in action, but total casualties, those who have been injured, who have deserted, in some cases even defected to the Ukrainian side and killed, you're looking at upwards of 25 to 30 or 40,000. And that's even NATO officials are beginning to talk in those numbers. Simply pouring more manpower into Ukraine is not going to help the Russians. I'm seeing every day instances of colossal stupidity at the tactical level, instances that their supply lines...
Okay, when you're talking about colossal stupidity, if we can, let's get back to that. And then talk about what still seems unthinkable to many people, but how does Ukraine win this war? And if that is even possible. I know, Michael Weiss, you believe that it is. We will get to more of that with Michael Weiss of the Daily Beast and elsewhere coming up on the MedVet Show.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now, 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280, and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Michael Weiss, who just returned from Ukraine and saw firsthand some of the Russian military disasters, writes for the Daily Beast and New Lines magazine and elsewhere. He's one of the most perceptive, knowledgeable reporters of the current state of the war in Ukraine. Michael, let me ask you a couple of questions that are very, very pressing and very, very immediate right now. We began the show today by looking at some of these reports of Vladimir Putin being very ill and perhaps having cancer surgery coming up. Other reports from the Daily Mail in Britain suggesting he may be suffering from Parkinson's and dementia. And first question, is that sound, any of that credible to you? Second question, if that is the case, if he is going to be forced for a period of time to turn over running the Russian autocracy to somebody else, apparently this police official named Petrashev, who he has been working with, is that good news or bad news in terms of ending this war?
No, Petrashev is he is one of the most hawkish men in the Russian government. I would say you might have made a case that there was an auction for who was second in line a few months ago, Petrashev or Defense Minister Shoigu, but I think given the performance of the military, Shoigu's currency is trading at an all-time low. Petrashev was FSB director for, I believe, 8 years. He succeeded Putin in that role. He has been responsible for essentially Russia's security. I believe he's now the secretary of the National Security Council. And if you look at some of the comments he's made most recently, I mean, this is a guy who has a messianic mission against the West. And against NATO and the United States in particular, going back to a very Andropov-style KGB mentality. So no, that's not good news for Ukraine or Russia, for that matter. As regards Putin's health, I mean, I'm not about to scoop myself on the radio, but I am working on a story that is related up to that, which should come out either this week or early next. I think there is a there to that story, although I think some of the details remain to be clarified. But look, I mean, there's a fundamental crisis taking place inside Russia. This is a country that went from being an authoritarian state to a totalitarian one in the space of almost about 72 hours, maybe a week if you're generous. Internal dissent criticism is now not tolerated at all. Everybody in a position to leave the country who saw the writing on the wall has done so or attempted to do so. One of my colleagues at the Free Russia Foundation, Vladimir Karamurza, is now in prison looking at 15 years for the crime of giving an interview to a Western journalist in which he denounced the war and said that, you know, things were not going so well for the Russian military. That was classed as disinformation by the Russian government. I mean, you know, we're returning to a very dark period for Russia.
How is it possible to envision, what's the most optimistic view one can take about Ukraine's ultimate success in winning this war?
Well, I mean, if things proceed as they have done, and keep in mind, the Ukrainians are getting military equipment that they've been begging for years. Long-range artillery, multiple launch rocket systems. They are getting now NATO standard ammunition for their howitzers. That's a big deal because the stuff they've been using is Soviet era 152 millimeter shells, which are in short supply in Europe. In fact, Russian military intelligence, the GRU, which I'm writing a book about at the moment, went around blowing up ammunition depots and weapons manufacturing plants in Bulgaria and the Czech Republic. They also Novichok, a Bulgarian arms dealer, to prevent Europe and NATO from supplying Ukraine with 152-millimeter shells. But now that they're getting NATO-standard howitzers, they have unlimited ammunition. So they can now press the fight. They can take the fight to Russia in Donbass. And today I've seen indications, and I think this has been verified by the Pentagon, that the Ukrainians have pushed the Russians north, back to the border, by about 40 miles in Kharkiv. Kharkiv is a city, historically very pro-Russian city, Russian-speaking city, that the Ukrainians have been trying to take since day one and have failed so far. So the real question is, you know, who has the staying power? I saw it suggested early on in this campaign that, you know, the clock is not on Ukraine's side, it's on Russia's. Well, I think I disagree with that assessment now. What remains to be seen is what Putin will do on May 9th, which is Victory Day in Russia, celebrating the defeat of Nazi Germany in World War II. Will he use it as an opportunity to declare whatever Pyrrhic victory he wants to declare, or will he use it as a call for mass mobilization? So in other words, there's going to be a draft, and they're going to send tens of thousands of more Russian conscripts into Ukraine. But even that's not going to really be a game changer here. I mean, I talked to military analysts, many of whom were quite bullish on Russia's rooted success, who now kind of are very pessimistic in their appraisal of what Russia can achieve, even with all the firepower and manpower in the world, which it simply hasn't got. I mean, one of the things that's taken place now, I spoke to the Deputy Defense Minister of Ukraine last week, and he said everything we've shot out of the sky, whether it's cruise missiles, unmanned aerial vehicles, fixed-wing or rotary-wing aircraft, when we open it up, the electronic guts of these devices or munitions, they're made in one of two places, the United States or the European Union. And with sanctions now taking a bite out of the Russian economy and the Russian military-industrial complex, the Russians simply can't build precision-guided munitions. So, you know, their army has historically been an artillery-based army. So they're basically just pounding everything in sight. But that's not a way you can really win a war. You can drive the defenders back a bit, but you can't hold and seize territory without infantry. And their infantry, I mean, without putting too fine a point to it, sucks. You know, I'm seeing evidence on social media of Russian military vehicles with tires that were manufactured by the Soviet Union. So can you imagine sending guys into battle to take a country or to take swaths of territory in a country with 31-year-old tires? I mean, none of this, you know, any military expert or general or colonel, major, will tell you they would never go to war in such a dire set of conditions like this.
This is all extraordinary, and it's very, very important. We're going to post some of your most recent dispatches from Ukraine, Michael, and I hope you will join us again, and I hope we have more encouraging news. And look, it's not encouraging to see human suffering, but it certainly is encouraging if you see that suffering is for a purpose, a higher purpose, which is democracy and independence and sanity. Real goal of Russia, the state news agency, said what Russia must do to Ukraine. We'll share that with you coming right up on The Michael Medved Show.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Senate is in session today, and among the things being worked on are President Biden's request for more taxpayer money going to Ukraine, to the tune of $33 billion to help the country defend itself from Russia. Republican Congressman from Ohio Mike Turner on this additional aid package.
Goal here, obviously, is to give Ukraine some relief by having a standoff, both in just the air and in the sea, so that they can lessen the shelling that has occurred of innocent civilians.
That audio courtesy of CNN. Jury selection is on hold in the penalty trial of the convicted Parkland, Florida school shooter. Judge Elizabeth Schreier ordering a delay until next week because the lead defense attorney is sick. This is USA Radio News.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
And I know that speaking with Michael Weiss, as we just did for a couple of segments, is enormously encouraging. And he's somebody with real insight and who has seen close up and personal exactly what the front of war looks like in Ukraine. But it's also important when you're talking about that not to get too encouraged by the current battlefield situation, because the nightmare that is Russia is so profound and so incredibly dangerous. I saw this, and you need to hear it very carefully, because it really does show what this war is about and why it is so essential to the welfare and the well-being of the United States of America and of civilization in general. That not only that Ukraine prevail and defend its national sovereignty, but that Russia lose, and lose decisively. The RIA, state news agency, this is the official Russian government position, on April 3rd, just a month ago, published a piece under the title, What Russia Must Do to Ukraine. Now, this is after the war, obviously, had been going on for a week. And here's what they said, what Russia must do to Ukraine. It said, ordinary Ukrainians must be made to atone for the guilt of their hostility to Moscow. The name Ukraine must be abolished once again and forever. And the country must be split into several pieces. Ukrainian elites should be physically liquidated. That means killed. And the remaining population re-educated and de-Ukrainized. What you're talking about is the kind of nightmare. When you talk about re-education people, after the communists took over Vietnam and South Vietnam, they put 1.5 million people in re-education camps. That's what they're talking about in Ukraine, a country which used to have a population of 44 million. And, of course, millions of those refugees want very much to come back if their country is safe. The former president of Russia, who is a current deputy national security chief, Dmitry Medvedev, remember he took over as president when Putin was term limited. Putin then was prime minister, and then, of course, Putin came back as president. In any event, Dmitry Medvedev outlined a similar vision for the future of Ukraine, also in the first part of April. He wrote that after the Russian victory, quote, the Ukrainian state will disappear, just like the Nazi Third Reich. As for the Ukrainians' deep sense of their own separate nationhood, Mr. Medvedev explained, quote, it's a great fake fed by anti-Russian venom and an all-encompassing lie about their own identity. Ukraine never existed in history, and it doesn't exist today. This is what folks are dealing with. And yes, it is nightmarish. And by the way, speaking of nightmarish, there is, I think, a little bit of premature celebration, to say the least, about the Elon Musk takeover of Twitter. Marjorie Taylor Greene has called for Elon Musk to assemble a round table of the most brilliant people in the world and to use those. Now, the question is, she obviously has in mind that she will be part of this round table of the most brilliant people in the world, but I'm not sure that works out for her. There is also this about, that it takes a less optimistic view of the Elon Musk takeover of, I almost said of Ukraine. No, he's not taking over Ukraine, though it would be undoubtedly greatly beneficial, better for him to take over than for for Russia. The MSNBC host named Mehdi Hassan, this is clip 21, Jeremy, took a look at what is happening with the Twitter takeover, as he perceives it, by Elon Musk. Listen.
I mean, it's easy in American discourse to talk simplistically about the far left and the far right as two equally dangerous fringe blocks. Elon Musk has done it plenty of times just in the past week. But here's the difference. America's far left wants to give us free healthcare and free childcare. America's far right wants to give us white supremacy and no democracy. And this asymmetrical polarization of U.S. politics would be laughable if it weren't so horrifying. We are living through an unspeakably dangerous moment. The pro-QAnon, pro-neo-Nazi faction of the Republican Party is poised to expand dramatically come the midterms. We're just 2 years away from Donald Trump very possibly re-seizing executive power. If that happens, we may look back on this past week as a pivotal moment, when a petulant and not-so-bright billionaire casually bought one of the world's most influential messaging machines and just handed it to the far right.
Okay, first of all, maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene is not so on target with her idea of assembling an assemblage of the world's most brilliant minds to run Twitter. Twitter, not always noted, even at its best for a high-level meeting of the minds. But here he describes the billionaire, Elon Musk, as not so bright. He's obviously extremely bright and very capable. And this notion of a far-right conspiracy that where Twitter is going to be handed by Elon Musk to neo-Nazi, I mean, isn't this a little bit alarmist and ridiculous? And by the way, it's put in perspective very well, because part of it is the idea that Elon Musk is a bad guy because he's a billionaire. Look, you don't have to drive a Tesla to recognize that Elon Musk has done a lot of good for the world. He certainly has promoted and expedited the arrival of more fuel-efficient vehicles that actually run on electric power. He's helped to change lives for the better. And by the way, that's true of many billionaires. There was a piece where the Wall Street Journal invited college students, and they do this from time to time, they have a Young Future View segment of the newspaper. And they asked young people this. Do billionaires have too much money? Which is a fairly fundamental question. And they got answers that are very pithy and very informative from a number of fairly brilliant young people, people who attend Columbia University in computer science, who attend Colgate University, Hamilton College, and elsewhere. I want to share some of those responses with you. And we also are going to be looking at a big new movie with Liam Neeson, plus dealing with a couple of emails that have come in challenging things that I've said or implied on the show. We will get to that and more, all coming up, 1-800-955-1776 on The MedVet Show.
The greatest show on God's green earth.
Oh, good for you.
The Michael Medved Show.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results. And after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone. But the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone. And so, therefore, my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833 654 pain.
The Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College promotes the principles of faith and freedom and equips the next generation of American leaders. Through bold opinion pieces, academic conferences on important topics, and examination of key figures and events in American history, the Institute and Grove City College stand apart from the indoctrination that's dominated much of higher education. The Institute for Faith and Freedom offers a brand new online course with scholar and historian Dr. Jay Cost on the mind of Madison in the midst of dysfunctional politics. The life and insights of James Madison can remind us of long-lost truths. What's politics supposed to accomplish? How should the people influence their political leaders? Go to faithandfreedom.com to learn more about their work and to take this new online course on the mind of Madison. Again, faithandfreedom.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP
is your weight loss answer.
ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
My name is Stephen Hewer. In 1976, when I was 15 years of age, I was poisoned from two mercury dental fillings. The mercury came off these fillings in such high amounts that I went from having excellent health to having chronic constipation and candida overgrowth. I could barely eat any food for 4 years, which resulted in adrenal exhaustion by the age of 20. Despite years of diet experimentation, juice fasting, and intestinal cleansing, it was not until I took certain prescription sulfur amino acids that I healed my eliminatory function and eliminated my candida overgrowth. Later, it was not until I began to consume Green Meadow Whey that I eliminated my mercury burden 100%. Had Green Meadow Whey existed in 1976, I could have healed my gut and body decades earlier. Green Meadow Whey supplies a very high concentration of the sulfur amino acids needed to fuel glutathione production. Glutathione removes mercury and virtually all other toxins from the body. Set your body free from the burden of heavy metals and environmental toxins with Green Meadow Whey. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
Michael Medved show, one of the things that happens with the Future of You segment of the Wall Street Journal is, which comes out every once in a while, and they ask young people to give answers to provocative and very controversial questions. This week they were asking, do billionaires have too much money? And the answers are terrific. And I want to share some of them with you because I think it's helpful and certainly should give people an encouraging view of the younger generation. This is all from current college students. The proper question to ask is not whether America's overall disparity of wealth is increasing, but whether the standard of living is improving across the board. That's what Jeffrey Wahlberg asks of Columbia University, a student there. And the answer to that is yes. Standard of living is improving across the board. Widespread advances in technology have helped improve the overall quality of life across the nation. Phones, computers, e-commerce are such examples. Behind such influential technology stand billionaires who played instrumental roles in its development. We should consider their wealth as a small percentage of the overall value that they helped create, with most of the gains being captured by consumers. A cursory glance at the group of ultra-wealthy Americans reveals that much of their money was earned meritoriously through a combination of skill, hard work, and drive. In 2021, reports showed that over 70% of the rich 400 richest men in the U.S. and 88% of millionaires are self-made. They didn't inherit their money. They earned it. We should see those vast fortunes as the pinnacle of the American dream, not as phenomena to ridicule. Absolutely right on the money. Then this from Nathan Biller at Colgate University. He's a history major. He says, successful business moguls like Elon Musk are the fruit of U.S. culture, not symptoms of its rot. The ability to build and succeed is an inseparable part of the American dream, which has drawn people to this nation for generations and created one of the most competitive and inventive societies on earth. The billionaire technocrat and the mom and pop shop down the street are both created by this ideal. While the degree to which Americans are able to realize this dream varies widely, society needs to be careful not to confuse wealth equality with baseline living standards. The economy is not zero sum, and the commerce made by innovation creates value across socioeconomic ranks. And then this, which I think is extremely important, and a brilliant recognition from Nicholas Heiser at Stanford University. He writes, people have every right to scoff at the extreme wealth disparities that exist in America today. It doesn't make sense for money to be hoarded by a few people while everyone else has to spend their lives making do. The general populace, however, doesn't understand the limits of Elon Musk's wealth. He may well be worth hundreds of billions, but that wealth doesn't exist in a bank account. Much is speculative based on the companies he operates. As of 2021, Tesla was valued higher than such automakers as Toyota or General Motors, despite its lack of legacy and meager market share. It's easy to imagine that this valuation could decrease, which would drastically decrease Mr. Musk's wealth. The average person would be outraged to see his wealth diminish from factors outside his control. Mr. Musk is playing a game of speculation. He sometimes makes promises his companies don't keep, and the market eventually corrects rogue speculation. Mr. Musk happens to thrive with speculative wealth, while others prefer a bank account's stability. All of this, it seems to me, extremely encouraging. And going directly to the question about do billionaires have too much money? Email came in from Tim in Auburn, Washington. He says, I can't believe you tried to imply that Ron Paul is a Russian tool. You have to be blind not to think that NATO-USA buddying up to Ukraine would not go unpunished, not to call out the current administration for letting the Ukraine citizens be used as cannon fodder is crazy or lazy by you. They could end this at any time. Just to say Putin is crazy and that is the end of it. Come on, Michael. How could the current administration end this at any time? By what? By doing what? By saying, no, we're not going to support the Ukrainians in defense of their own national sovereignty, the existence of their nation, to prevent them from being wiped out as an identity, which Russia has very specifically said they want to do. And as far as Ron Paul and his Russian connections, just look at the financing, which is quite public, for the Ron Paul Institute of Peace. And this is not Rand Paul. The senator is different. But the old man who ran for president three times, and I think his biggest campaign, he got 3% of the final vote, not even. But this idea that that justifying Russia and blaming America and NATO, which is a defensive alliance, has never been anything other than a defensive alliance, to blame that for this utterly pointless and cruel and evil war, outrageous. And speaking of utterly cruel and evil, Nancy in Portland writes in, your hatred for the homeless says a lot about your overall view of humanity. Isn't our motto, give us your poor? Part of that means we welcome the world's less fortunate into our nation and then help them, not shun them like you do on a daily basis. Would you rather change our nation's slogan to give us your best and brightest, leave the least to rot away? I pray that your heart and mind has changed and that you try to be better. First of all, very few of the people who are homeless on the streets are immigrants. And it's true. I mean, it's a below the immigrant population, a population of people who have been born elsewhere in the United States, is somewhere between 15% and 20%. It's fairly big. But in terms of the homeless population, it is not people who are poor and trying to get better and giving them just goodies for sleeping on the street, for refusing medication, for refusing to progress, is not kindness, it's cruelty. Because it harms any chance that they would have of bettering one situation. Simply saying that, oh, well, this is, people are suffering, therefore they sleep in public, and that's fine, is a foolish and not a helpful means of looking at them, Nancy. More to come as we proceed. Meanwhile, proceeding to a big new movie, one of the biggest movies released just over the weekend, a film starring Liam Neeson as a compassionate hitman with dementia. No, it has nothing to do with Vladimir Putin. The film's called Memory.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Liam Neeson plays an expert assassin who is suffering from memory loss, a gigantic problem in his ruthless line of work in Memory. Now playing in theaters.
I'm the Batman. I have been for a long time.
He's interfering with an international investigation.
Which side of this do you really want to be on?
I want justice.
Well, I'll stop at nothing to bring justice to a drugs and trafficking cartel at the Mexican border, a corrupt police department, and various other challenges posed by co-stars including Guy Pearce and Monica Bellucci. Memory deploys an interesting premise, with the main character having to write reminders on his forearm about who exactly he's supposed to kill next. But the grim, brutal plot, based on a Belgian film and book known as The Alzheimer Affair, emphasizes appalling brutality above any form of emotional engagement. Rated R, of course, 2.5 stars for Memory. And on the Michael Medved show, next time, a question. How did conspiracy theories go away from the fringe, where they've always flourished, and come into the mainstream? We live in an age of misinformation. How did that happen? And what does it have to do with Sandy Hook? We will get to that. We will also talk with New York Times economist Peter Coy, who says that if you want to tackle student debt, you have to fix ineffective colleges that graduate people who can't repay their loans, and because they haven't learned anything useful at all in school. And then the LA Times asks an important question. Is politics making people sick? Not just an emotional reaction, but actually physically ill. And then the attack of the killer wild turkeys. There are several federal agencies trying to deal with this problem for this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's vine-to-bar. Vine-to-bar chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.